This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
You're on Joy 949, listening to The Escape Hour with Stefan and our guest Rodney. So we're going to Taiwan now. Taiwan. And Rodney, you welcome.
Ni hao.
Oh. And you went to Taiwan, you just came back from Taiwan where you attended the Pride Festival there.
Yes, I'm almost fully recovered.
Fully recovered? Yes. Late night, were there?
Not for me, there was a lot of walking, especially in the parade.
Oh.
Pride.
Yeah. So why Taiwan? Well, you know, we've got partly perfectly great festival in Sydney and Melbourne, for that matter. So why go to Taiwan?
Taipei Pride is the biggest pride in Asia. And this year the parade was significant because they're contending with a referendum that's coming up on the same weekend that we vote here in Victoria for the state election. And they'll be voting for same-sex marriage.
Oh, well, I thought same-sex marriage was already law in Taiwan, but that's not the case, is it?
It's not the case, no. It's a little bit confusing because a constitutional court in Taiwan in 2017 ruled that same-sex marriage should be legalised, but no progress was made. And recently there's been some movement, mainly from, Christian groups who are against same-sex marriage becoming law in Taiwan. So the parade this year had significance, and that's why it had the theme, tell your story, vote for equality. Mm. And so I thought this would be a good year to go because it's so significant.
Mm, absolutely. Yeah.
I've been to Taiwan before and I enjoy the gay scene there. And so I wanted to check out Pride, but some other people had been and said it was great.
Yeah, and I think we'll talk about the gay scene a little bit later. But what makes Pride in Taipei different to what you've attended? I mean, I suspect you've attended Mardi Gras, you've attended Midsummer.
Yeah, I've participated in Mardi Gras. I've been to the Melbourne event. One of the main differences is normally at a Pride, wherever it is in the world, the parade route would be locked off, like secured from traffic. But that's not the case. Not entirely. Parts of the route in Taipei are separated from the traffic, but at various times while you're marching, you actually have to stop to let the traffic through. And also, in certain sections, you're only separated by, you know, quite fast moving cars and scooters, of which there are very many.
Yes,
by basically witches hats. That's all.
Oh, that's all.
That's dividing
all. So it's part of day to day life. It's just something that happened on top of normal traffic.
In a way, yes. In a way, it is. Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of colour and movement. Mm. But yeah, it's like a normal day on the roads in Taipei.
So that must be quite spectacular to see, you know, the normal day to day life, and then all these people walking and.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and anyone can participate. You know, you don't have to register. You know, anyone can just join the parade or leave the parade because some people get tired from the distance that's involved. And also there are, because of the traffic situation, they actually have three different groups. So, everyone sets off in one of three different paths, as it were, yes. And they kind of do a circle around, coming back to the point where they started.
Okay.
So it's an interesting aspect, but no one can get to see the whole parade.
Yeah, that was going to say.
Because you only get to see a third.
Yes.
I understand the logistics of why they do it that way, but from a spectacle point of view, it's a little bit disappointing because I couldn't get to see, you know, everything. And I was photographing it So I had to get in front of the group. So it was, you know, so it's a long course, and it was a reasonably warm day. So it can be quite tiring.
And how many people?
Well, the Taiwan Times estimated the crowd as 130,000.
So it's quite significant.
A fairly decent pride.
But you only get to see a third. you go in between the three.
Well, you get to see everyone because there's a gathering point at the beginning and everyone at the end.
Oh, right.
Right. Yeah, so in theory, you do get to see everybody, but you don't get to see everyone while they're during the march. Yeah.
And is it structured a bit similarly to how it's structured here with floats and with...
Not so much floats. It's there are, like, one of the standouts for me was there was a group of people who were actually inside all these balloons, basically, but they were very long, like those guys who do those party tricks at kids.
Oh, yes.
Kids' birthdays, and those very long balloons, and they actually had all of the colours of the rainbow were represented, and so there was that kind of it's not a float, but being that kind of visual attraction. Mm. But apart from that, it was just people dressed up in. What are they normally dress up in? There was a fairly noticeable contingent of guys who were into rubber.
Oh, right.
And there was in Taiwan in general, there are quite a lot of panda bears.
Panda bears? What are panda
That's what
bears?
They're called.
Local bears.
That's their local affectionate nickname is panda bears. Yeah. And... a lot of guys who would identify as bears from the local Taiwanese were out and proud there.
And so apart from the panda bears, the out and proud panda bears, do they have were there anybody with traditional dress or mostly?
Oh, good question. I can't say that I saw a lot of what would have been traditional Taiwanese or the traditional or the Taiwanese indigenous people. Mm-hmm. I didn't see them, but they may have been there. Yeah. But I was surprised to see some exposed butts because that's I wasn't expecting to see that in a Chinese country.
Yeah.
Yes, because they are quite conservative in terms of exposing
body
flesh.
Parts.
Yeah,
flesh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But the guys who had bared their asses, so to speak, did get a lot of attention.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Including from me.
So was it... we've got a comment from our very own Mark Adams telling us he loved the ideas of chaos. Was that really... Did it feel chaotic or... organized chaos or not?
Well, I wasn't perturbed at the time by the proximity of the traffic, if that's what he's referring to. Yeah. But I thought about it later and I thought, okay, yeah, that's potentially quite dangerous. But at the time, it was more exhilarating.
Okay.
But I did want to say that there was enormous joy in the room. I mean, I know it's not a room, but there was a great sense that these people were very, very happy to be expressing what they were expressing on the day. And I had a great sense of it, to the point of nearly being... I was tearful during the parade because there was just this great sense of community. And it was quite intense. And I didn't feel that to the same extent when I was in the Mardi Gras in Sydney. Mm. And you would have thought I might have because this was not my community.
Yes, but so that's really interesting to see that you felt this sense of community. Maybe it's because of the political context and trying to...
Yeah, I sense that these people really are taking a risk in making this statement about themselves. And, you've got to admire that. Mm. And I wish them well for the referendum coming up at the end of the month.
Joy 94.9 is on air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But sometimes you can't always be with us when you want to. Here's the solution. Here's the solution. Listen to your favourite Joy 94.9 show anytime with our Joy podcast service. Our team of over 30 volunteers pick out the best bits from around 60 programs that Joy airs each week, made available to you for free download. To find a podcast of your favourite Joy show, search for us in the Featured Providers section within the iTunes Store, or find them on the Joy website, joy.org.au. Joy Podcasts. Any show, anytime, joy.org.au.
You're on the Escape Hour on Joy 949 with Stefan and guest Rodney today. Rodney, hello. We're talking all things Taipei, all things gay pride festival in other countries. So Rodney, you attended the parade, which really sounded like it had a great sense of community. So how long does the pride festival go for?
Well, it's relatively short compared to the Mardi Gras festival or the pride events down here. Mm-hmm. Essentially, it's over about three or four nights.
Oh, right. So, I mean, it's not just the parade and nothing else. So there is still a few other...
There are dance parties on every night. Mm-hmm. So if people arrive, as many do, they arrive from countries around. So many people come in from Singapore and from Thailand. And essentially, you know, if you're... LGBTI person within the Asian region, you're likely to go. You're going to be heading toward Taipei on the last Saturday in October every year, because that's when this happens. And people will arrive maybe like I did on the Wednesday prior, and you can probably go to a dance party every night if you want to. Mm-hmm. Well, actually you can, because they have events, and they even have, I was alluding to earlier, the prominence of the panda bear community. They even had their own panda party to attend.
Did you attend that?
I don't quite qualify.
No, but you could.
But yeah, I know.
As a lover of pandas.
A panda appreciator.
Yeah.
I didn't go. But the gay area in Taipei is very clearly defined.
So they've retained a gay area? Because in a lot of Western places now, that's something that has disappeared. If you look at Melbourne, probably less so in Sydney, but so they've got a clear defined...
They're fortunate in having an area that's built around a plaza, and there's a landmark building in the district of, and I apologize for my Chinese, it's appalling, but the area is called Ximen. It's spelled Ximen, which in a way is it's an interesting word to have for a gay district. And the area where there's actually a row of bars next to a historic building called the Red House, which was the first... It was like a first type of market in Taipei. But
the food market?
Yeah. And there's about 20, there's a combination of bars, restaurants, and retail. Everything is LGBTI. And there's about 20 of these places. So I'd say that in terms of bars, there'd be at least 10. And all of the bars have adjoining seating that goes across this plaza. Oh, so you're completely, unlike in the parade, you're completely protected from traffic. yet everyone is welcome in this area. It's a very, it's not like going to a bar and there's a sense of people need to pick up, or it doesn't have that sense about it at all. And it's, in fact, it's this bar area in Ximen which has brought me back to Taipei.
So you've been before?
Yes.
I really love
this area. I use my description of this area to encourage people who are LGBTI to come and check out Taipei. Just to see for themselves, because I think the area is exceptional. And particularly during this time of the year, lots of people arriving from overseas. There is a great sense of anticipation of something that's about to happen. Yep. And also there's additional events that happen around here.
There must be a real buzz in this area
definitely.
Not just around the parade, but also, as you say, if there are so many people travelling to Taipei for this, and do they cater to different population in our community, or is it all fairly?
I'm not really aware of whether they do, but certainly there was a big representation of, different, let's say, subcategories or interest areas within the community. They were represented among the people, the patrons. Mm-hmm. And just to clarify, it's chairs and tables kind of arrangement, and these chairs and tables are spread out across this plaza, and if it gets really busy, they put out more chairs and tables.
Oh, people are not standing up, milling around.
No, people are predominantly sitting down. So that adds to the relaxed aspect of it. There's a second floor. So it's like there are two levels of bars and other venues that are operating around this plaza.
So it sounds like there's quite a lot of things to...
Oh yeah,
I mean, you could go into a bar crawl,
and you're only 100 or so meters away from the nearest sauna. So there's a lot happening. My hotel was not far as well,
which I think you chose for the name.
Well, it was easy for me because it's called Westgate, and I thought, oh, that's going to be easy for me to remember. So I stayed there. It was a very nice a 4-star hotel. Very well located. There's a lot of shopping as well around, so if you wanted to, you could almost do your whole if you're staying in Taipei for a long weekend, you could almost do the whole thing, do your shopping, your bar hopping, or
LGBT,
your parade. It's everything.
Parade, everything.
So, it's very self-contained.
So, I'm quite interested of your opinion on this, how the community has changed in Melbourne, for example, and we're relying on social media apps quite a lot. Mm. Did you get the opportunity to try any of these apps in Taipei?
Look, one of the biggest challenges is, carrying on conversations with people you've hardly met. Many at a time. Yeah,
so they weren't going off.
I can vouch for Grindr.
It does work there.
Yes, yes.
And you found it difficult to carry on conversation. I don't want to get into that. Sounds quite interesting.
Well, it's embarrassing when you realize you sent the wrong message to the wrong person.
Oh, I see. Keeping track of who you're talking to. So yeah. That's what you mean. Okay.
It can be taxing. But half your luck.
So there's really... I mean, what comes out from what you're saying is really this sense of community, and I'm really... it's glad to see that it's still something that... what kind of age range did... people going out, were there everybody, every type of age, or were there mostly?
I think it was pretty broadly representative. The perhaps the thing that was a little bit disappointing was that there weren't more women out and about, that sort of surprised me. Go on.
So did you notice any bar that catered for women?
There is one, and its name escapes me for the second. But there is definitely a women's bar, yes.
Okay.
And it's quite popular.
So it's not just for
And it's in it, it's in the, if you get the Lonely Planet guide, it's in there somewhere.
Okay.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're on Joy 949, listening to The Escape Hour with Stefan and my guest Rodney. Rodney, we've been talking all about Taipei, the gay scene in Taipei, the Pride Parade in Taipei, and I think the name of this bar...
Oh, yeah, we have...
that caters for women came back, didn't it?
Taboo is the name of the bar for... women to go to.
So Taipei doesn't strike me as a holiday destination.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was talking to some friends after I had returned, and one of them made the comment that, you know, he had never thought of a holiday in Taiwan or Taipei, Taipei being the capital of Taiwan. And and I thought, well, if you like cities like Hong Kong, which a lot of Australians do, I think you would similarly like Taipei. Mm. I mean, that's been my experience. And after this visit, I mean, I used to go to Hong Kong quite a lot, but I, with apologies to my friends in Hong Kong, I mean, I would prefer to go to Taipei.
Oh, right. So so what else is there to do that makes you want to go back?
Well, I went on the day after the parade, I went on a nice hike to the highest point in on the island, and that was a pretty good alternative kind of environment compared to
recover after the parade and
make my legs even more sore. I actually, I'm not really inclined to check out temples, but I did that, and that was pretty rewarding.
So what, I mean, I think it's called the City of 100 Temples. So is there any particular one that you would recommend?
I was fortunate, and the one that I went to, and of course I've just forgotten. Oh, yes, there it is. It's called Baoan Temple. So it's spelled B-A-O apostrophe A-N. And I just thought that it was the structures on the roof that are based around representations of dragons, and they're all in these amazing colours. Mm. But you're just the... Well, you know, it is very old. Mm. And I really dug it. I mean, just to see it in the midst of a whole lot of highly industrialized cityscape was this little place of solitude.
Oasis of solitude.
And
spirituality. Because you mentioned that, you know, I'm going to refer to it as the chaos of the traffic during the parade. And they've got a lot of mopeds and scooters, I guess.
It's extraordinary. At the intersections. Oh, yeah, go on.
And then that would be quite a nice place to kind of get away from that. Mm.
Mm. Yeah. It is interesting how you have a sense of being away from the hubbub of the city. You can achieve that quite easily. Taipei used to be – well, Taipei became well known when it had the tallest building in the world for a period of time, I think during the 90s. There's a building that's called Formosa, which is the European name for Taipei. It means a beautiful island. Mm. And there's a building called Formosa 101, which is a tall building.
Did you?
I didn't this trip because I was too busy doing other stuff. But yeah, it's a great building to go up if you like going up tall buildings and having a look at, you know, everything that's around. Nice. But also there's a lot of shopping that's built around, or that's available, you know, if you want to go particularly high end.
So what kind of good shopping would you recommend? What's Oh, that's a trick question.
Well, I went and bought something in Chiman from a designer guy. His business name is, I think it's Justin in Time or something. And I bought basically Taipei Gay Pride t-shirt from there. He was a very nice guy, and you know, I thought, well, you know, I can't get this anywhere else, so I went for that. But you know, you can get the high, you know, anything that you can get in any major city in Asia in terms of major brands. I would suggest that you can get in Taipei.
Yeah. So we've done the shopping. What about the food? Is there anything you would?
I love a good beef noodle
out of a packet.
No. One of the guys preparing the beef noodles that I witnessed, he had a whole like a great big ball of dough, and he was using a blade to shave it off. Mm. And it was a bit thicker than the normal noodle, but you know, tasted great and was very affordable. Eating out in various night markets and general food markets in Taipei is a very good option. Sure. And that's the kind of thing that I did. You could go and find places to eat, quite late at night. I mean, as is the case generally in Asia, you can go shopping, most nights of the week till probably 10 o'clock. Maybe on the weekend you could go a little bit later. Mm. If you want to go and get your Uniqlo puffer jacket, you can go and get it, after dinner on your way to go out clubbing. It's a very lively city that. I felt as though it was more lively than Hong Kong. Because I have an appreciation from going to both cities quite a bit, and I would say it was above it.
Oh, right. So do you think it's because Hong Kong has changed with the...
Clearly there's a difference between those two cities, because one city has kind of, they've been Chinese in terms of the way the places run these days, whereas the Taiwanese are they're the rebel state. Ones that China is not happy with because of various things, and I kind of celebrate that because I like the fact that these people, the Taiwanese, are, I mean, not just the gay and lesbian Taiwanese, but in general the Taiwanese are doing their thing in the face of quite considerable opposition. So, I like that. Mm.
So there's a rebel...
Yes. Yes.
...tinge to it.
Yes.
It sounds good. I mean, it sounds absolutely a fantastic place to visit. In terms of food, I suspect there's the rice dishes as well as...
I had some great laksa while I was there, they have a very the Taiwanese were once occupied by the the island was occupied by the Japanese. There's a very big Japanese cultural influence in a very good way. There's this they have in many ways characteristics that are slightly different to if you visited Shanghai or Beijing. The Chinese people in Taiwan, I think they're a little bit more they could be a little bit more relaxed than in other countries, but that might be a step too far to make those sort of generalizations. But they definitely have a well-earned reputation for being friendly, not just on Grindr. I've been half a dozen times now to Taiwan, and it should be obvious that I like it.
You like it. Bubble tea. verdict on bubble tea.
If it's not too sweet, I don't mind it.
It's something that's quite polarizing, I think. Bubble tea for me, it's not something that I enjoy, but
I wouldn't use it as a criteria to measure Taiwan.
It is typically Taiwanese.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So that's why I wanted to mention.
Joy 94.9.
You're listening to The Escape Hour with Stefan on Joy 949 and Rodney. Rodney, we've been talking about Taiwan, and we've been talking about a lot of gay scene in Taiwan, the Pride Festival, and a little bit of food. Now, Rodney, we ask this question to every single guest we have. Do you roll or do you fold? Your clothes when you pack. Don't go anywhere else.
I thought you were talking about food.
Packing tips.
Okay.
How do you pack?
I'm really anal retentive when it comes to packing for holidays.
Which is not a bad thing.
And I use a lot of those resealable bags.
Oh, cute bags.
And I've recently discovered that an even larger one than the largest one that used to be available, and I think they might be called Jumbo. I think they're just great. You open up my baggage and there's a lot of stuff in folded in plastic, so resealable bags.
Not rolled, not stuffed into your shoes, not anything, folded.
I don't do any of that other stuff.
Good. So if you were to sum up Taiwan and want, you know, if you want to promote Taiwanese tourism, so why should we, the top two, three things where we why we should go there?
Are the men.
The men. But you can't keep track men. On social media.
The men, the liveliness of the place, and the food.
Right, the men, the liveliness, and the food. What about the sense of community? You really, I mean, especially the
community of men.
The community. So it's all back to the men, which I guess it's a good attraction to have.
But in terms of the pride, reiterating what I was expressing earlier, this I was really quite emotional in just being part of it on that day, and yes. I hadn't experienced that, and I think it's because I had a sense of these people really are taking a risk, and it's not all, you know, for granted. And they're at a stage in their a level of recognition of their rights that you know we have passed here in Australia, but I think it's important because you know it's important for Australians to appreciate that this is you know our near neighbour and. And they're really doing it well.
Well, thank you, Rodney. That was fantastic. I think it was a really great summary of Taiwan and why to go there, and especially Taipei at the time of Pride. And it's definitely somewhere I'd like to go now.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.